We already heard in the word of introduction about the armor of God, about holding the ground, and we know that God gives grace to everything. He has given us the lot. He has divided. You know, when Joshua brought the people across the Jordan, at least all the other tribes, except for the 2.5 tribes that stayed on the other side. But he divided up and assigned to each one the land and the territory as the Lord God had instructed. We know that in the New Testament, God showed us as His church what He had prepared. And not only that, but beyond that, what He has prepared for us in glory. When you sing these songs of glory, you could close your eyes and get absorbed and lost in it. So glorious and wonderful it is to think of everything that in our time everything comes to the completion. And the word of the Lord that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians at that time, we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. The critics say Paul expected the Lord to come in his time and was disappointed. The Spirit of God was so alive in him that he pronounced it in the present tense. And we know for a fact that he could not have been disappointed if he had said what the Spirit gave him to say and to write it down. Who will be disappointed? I can tell you now. That's the critics. They were disappointed then, and they will be disappointed again. But no one will be put to shame who has put his trust in God. No one had the hope in vain in him. They will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be changed, and together we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. I would like to read a word of God on everything we've already looked at yesterday and today, and maybe even some passages from the Holy Scripture. We talked about the blessing of God, and for that I would like to read the story of Jacob from Genesis 27. Genesis 27, from verse 30. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise, and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly, and said, who? Where is he that has taken venison, and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and has taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. So far, this precious word of God. We spoke about the blessing, and we see that something was pronounced here with a blessing, namely a word of promise. And we have emphasized from the beginning that the true and lasting blessing of God has been attached to the promise of God. There is no blessing without a promise. The promise of the word is the basis of the blessing God gives, whether that blessing concerns the individual or the church. The blessing of God is tied to his word. And all who receive the word of his promise, they also receive the blessing. It says here in chapter 28, and God Almighty, verse 3, chapter 28, verse 3, and God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee. When such a blessing was pronounced by men of God who were guided by the Holy Spirit in what they said, it was not a conjecture, but it was the utterance which God had put into the mouth of his servant to say this, that God might cause it to come to pass. God only allows to be fulfilled what his servants pronounce according to his will, or what he himself has pronounced. Here it says, and God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee. And then it says, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee. We have spoken this morning of the blessing of Abraham. The word of the Lord went out to Abraham, and with the going out of the word, with the hearing of the call, he went out in blessing. The first step and the last step were blessed because God's word went out to him. The most important thing in our lives is to listen to the word revealed by God for the time in which we live. God did not give Abraham a blessing that was 2,000 years ago. God gave him a promise for his time, for the way he had to go. He gave him the word and the blessing. To Jacob, he gave the word and the blessing for his time, and he let himself be called upon to be blessed with the blessing of Abraham. It was a present blessing, a word of promise for that time. You all know what is meant by that. Not what God had done in past millennia or centuries, but what God was about to do. It was something present at that time. And God Almighty bless thee. Something greater and more precious cannot be given to a man along his way. It was not earthly treasures, but the blessing of God that he received along the way. Everything else fell to him. We know this from the story of Jacob. Then we find a word here that is also written in Moses, Genesis 32. Here it says, from verse 23, Genesis 32, from verse 23, and he took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him, and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. First, the servant of God pronounced blessing upon him, and then the Almighty God Himself blessed him. Brothers and sisters, when a word of promise goes out to the people of God, as it did to Jacob, then the day must come when we meet Almighty God as He met Him, and where not only a blessing is pronounced, but where we meet the Blesser and hold him and say, I will not let you go except thou bless me. After all, it was wonderful what his father had pronounced in the name of the Lord and on behalf of God. And we are convinced that it went with him. But when the day came for Jacob, that not only his father pronounced a blessing in the name of the Lord, but that he was allowed to meet the one from whom all blessing flows, he said, I will not let you go except thou bless me. It is a wonderful thing to receive the word of promise and to have the blessing in prospect, but then to meet the one from whom the word went forth, to meet the one who gave the promise, and to meet the one who can cause all blessing to flow down. And I believe that is the point we have reached. We have heard the word of promise. It has gone out to us, and God has helped us in many ways. We know that very well. Now we need to experience a Peniel, a place where we can see the face of God. Is this not again a parallel to the word that the Lord will lift up His face to shine upon His people and be gracious to us? We know that the blessing began with the birthright, which God was about to bless. It is emphasized later in the law of Moses. But God's blessing began early enough, namely with those who believed Him and received the word. If we wanted to trace all these traces of divine blessing among the people, we would come to where we are, or as we must have read it yesterday, from Matthew 25, Come hither, ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom. All who have been blessed by God from the beginning of time to the end of time will be allowed to enter into the glory of God. And there were people who heard the word of the Lord and received the promise for their time and believed it. In Hebrews, as we have looked at it, the Lord God said, who were those about whom God was angry 40 years, but those who did not mix what they heard with faith, but who on the one hand heard, and on the other hand got up, and then amused themselves again according to their own way. And the Lord says, in them God had no pleasure, and God swore in his wrath that they should nevermore enter into his rest. But at the same time he says, there is a rest for the people of God. And he says, the Lord has appointed a today, not a yesterday, and not a tomorrow, but God has appointed a today. We have spoken about this in detail. A today. It was a today for Jacob when Isaac pronounced the blessing. It was a today for him when he was allowed to meet the Lord there. It was a today for Abraham when Almighty God blessed him and spoke to him and gave him the word of promise. It was a today for all the servants and children of God throughout time. To return to what we looked at last night, I would like to read one more word from the prophet Haggai. There is a very wonderful word here in the context of the servant of God who spoke to the people of God at that time when they had returned from captivity to serve their God anew. It says here in the prophet Haggai in chapter 1 from verse 12, then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jozadak the high priest with all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. If we look at this word more closely, we see that God's people, namely those who were left, had realized that the admonition of the Lord their God had gone out through the word that the prophet spoke to them. They knew it is not Haggai speaking to us, but God Almighty speaking to us through Haggai. It is not the message of a prophet, but it was the message sent by God to his people at that time. That is why it says so wonderfully here, with all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, namely the words of Haggai the prophet. They listened to the admonition of the Lord their God, namely to the words of the prophet Haggai, who, as they recognized, had been sent to them by the Lord their God. Whenever the people of God recognized that a prophet had been sent to them, they were ready to accept what was said to them, and the Lord gave them comfort and was able to say to them, I am with you. This was not a pious wish, but this was, thus saith the Lord, namely for those who had recognized that the message of God had gone out to them through the mouth of the prophet. Now comes the question. Did everyone else have the right to say, God is with us? Here it is written that they had recognized. Perhaps we are to read it again. And all that were left of the people hearkened to the admonition of the Lord their God, namely to the words of Haggai the prophet, who they recognized had been sent to them by the Lord their God. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger. In the Luther translation, it says the angel of the Lord. In the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. With whom was the Lord God at that time? With those who had recognized that God's word had gone out to them through the mouth of the prophet. For them, all questioning and puzzling was over. For them came the divine statement, Behold, I am with you, saith the Lord. Because they had heard what God had to say to them at that time. They recognized from the Lord their God. This is a very important passage in considering what God has done in our time. Not that we recognize of ourselves, not that they recognized of themselves in those days. It was the grace of God. God turned the heart of his people so that they could believe what they were told. And also they did not need a time to think it over, but because they believed what was said to them, the prophet could immediately tell them that the Lord was with them. Then, in chapter 2, comes something quite wonderful, that the prophet could say in the name of the Lord to the people of God at that time. Perhaps from the last part of verse 4, And work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt. So my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. Perhaps only up to this point. At that time, so many years after the exodus of the people of Israel from Egypt, the prophet is led and inspired by the Spirit of God to go back to bridge the gap between the time they arrived and the moment they were brought out of Egypt. And it says, Work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. And then the promise, which I solemnly made to you at your exodus from Egypt, remains. After so many years, the same God who spoke through Moses speaks here through the prophet Haggai, saying, My promise that I made to your fathers at their Exodus, it stands. In other words, what I have said, I stand by it after all these hundreds or thousands of years. God stands by His word. Maybe a Haggai didn't even remember what God had promised to Moses and the people of God. But God did think of it, and He thought back at the end of that era to what He had said at the beginning. Brothers and sisters, I can't help but be reminded of what was said there in Jerusalem immediately after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the beginning of this era, namely Acts 3, verse 21, that the Lord Jesus will remain in heaven until the times of restoration of all things, which God spoke by the mouth of all His holy servants and prophets. If there were a prophet here today, he could say, Thus saith the Lord, I remember my word that I said at the beginning of the New Testament, and fulfill it in your midst. God remembers His holy word. Many may remain in that time with the word that Peter spoke, that heaven must receive Christ until the times of restoration of all things, as God spoke it by the mouth of His servants and prophets. But we in this time, at the end of our time, at the end of the new covenant, we can go back to what God had proclaimed at the beginning of the new covenant by the mouth of His holy servant and apostle there in Jerusalem. Isn't that wonderful? Hear the prophet Haggai, or God speaking through the prophet, saying, The promise that I made to you at your Exodus. Here, Haggai and all the others were indeed the descendants of those who originally went out. We were not in Jerusalem, but it is the extension of what God began in Jerusalem. And we, at the end of this time of grace, may be reminded of the promises that God made at the beginning of the time of grace, that He will restore all things, and that Christ cannot return sooner, but must remain in heaven until all things are restored, as God has declared by the mouth of His holy prophets. This is something wonderful and glorious. It says here, Work, for I am with you. This is not a word that everyone can take because they feel like it. This word was addressed to those who recognized in those days that the prophet was sent into their midst with a message of God. Is it true or not? Today, everyone takes the word and is not bothered about anything else, but adorns themselves with all kinds of things of the word without understanding in what context the word in the Holy Scripture stands and for what context it was given. Here were people who had come back from the Babylonian captivity. And has it not happened to us that we have returned at the end of days from all Babylonian confusion and captivity. The prisons were opened, and we were allowed to go out freely to offer sacrifices in righteousness and holiness to the living God. And from that day onward, it says, "Work, for I am with you." Nothing better can be said to us than that God gives us the assurance. In other words, ye have heard what I spoke to you through the prophet whom I sent into your midst. You can work, for I am with you. I remember my word and my promise and fulfill them in your midst because you have believed me. That's the be all and end all. Not just saying, I believe, but believing what God has told us in His Word. And work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. The promise I solemnly made to you at your exodus from Egypt remains. Brothers and sisters, did not the mouth of the Lord say at the exodus of the New Testament church, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, that he may restore all things"? Is that not a solemn declaration? I see here some things seem not to be right here. The joy is not as it should be. Here in Matthew 17 it says, Matthew 17, verse 11, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things." This word was spoken by the Lord Jesus long after John's ministry had ended. And he said, Elijah is coming to restore all things. Anyone who wants to read up on this can see for themselves that the Lord Jesus and all the apostles, when speaking of John, never referred to Malachi 4 verse 5, but every time to Malachi 3 verse 1 and Isaiah 40 verse 3. Anyone can do this work for themselves. You can read it in Matthew chapter 11. Here it says in verse 10, "For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." Jesus never once said with reference to John, "Behold, this is he who was to come before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes." Not once. And when Mark began to write his gospel, what did he say? He referred to Malachi 3, verse 1, and to Isaiah 40, verse 3. It says here, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." I ask you, where did the Lord Jesus, or where did any apostle, when writing and reporting of John's ministry, refer to Malachi 4 verse 5? Not once, either by the Lord or by the apostles. And when John himself was asked if he was Elijah, he gives the answer here in John chapter 1. That's written in verse 20. "And he confessed and denied not, I am not the Christ." And they asked him, What then, art thou Elijah? And he saith, I am not. He knew exactly who he was. The Lord Jesus knew who he was. Mark knew who he was. And I ask you now, does a preacher in this day and age have the right to refuse that and say something contrary to what John said and what Jesus said and what the apostles said? If you ask the preachers today, they say, huh, this has all been done before. But we believe that a Mark was just as led and guided by the Holy Spirit as a John. And we believe that the Lord Jesus spoke in full divine authority when he said, This is the one to whom the scripture refers. Behold, I send my messenger before me. Or what do we want to believe? Do we want to believe what the clergy of this age say, who do not believe God at all? Or do we want to believe what the prophets and the apostles and the Lord Jesus himself said? We come here to the promise of God for our time. At that time, God spoke through Haggai, the promise that I made to you or to your fathers when you came out of Egypt. It remains, and my spirit rules in your midst. Why did the Spirit of God suddenly rule again in their midst? Because they had heard the word of prophecy and believed it, and because they were ready to put into practice what God had told them. The Spirit of God was ruling in their midst. They returned. They were people who believed the promise for that time. For so Daniel said in the name of the Lord, When 70 years are full, I will bring them back again. And when the 70 years were full, they were brought back. And already after they were brought back, the word of prophecy sounded in their midst. And God goes back to the beginning and says, I remember my promise, which I solemnly made to your fathers at the Exodus. And he says, My spirit rules in your midst. Fear not. Brothers and sisters, the Spirit of God rules where God's word is received. Because God's word is spirit and is life. And whoever passes by the word of God passes by God. And whoever passes by God, God will pass by him. There is no way out. The promise that I solemnly made to you at your exodus from Egypt remains. And my spirit rules in your midst. Fear not. God has graciously ruled in his church in this last time. His Spirit is present to transfigure His revealed Word, to finally make all the scales fall from our eyes. Brothers and sisters, after all these years, it should no longer be necessary for us to bring these things up here and talk about them. It should have long been revealed and sealed in the heart of every child of God, what God has promised for this time and what he has done by grace. We see that his word has gone forth. He remembered at the time of the return of what he promised at the time of the Exodus. With his own mouth, he solemnly declared, Elijah must first come and restore all things. He did the same with Peter. He has pronounced that he will remain in heaven until the time of the restoration of all things, which God has proclaimed by the mouth of all the prophets from the beginning. We live in the time of fulfillment. The Spirit of God rules in our midst. His word has gone out to us. We may hear when he says, I am with you, saith the Lord your God. And he says, fear not, for your work shall be rewarded. It is a glorious time in which we live, a time of fulfilling of the word of God. What he spoke at the beginning of the new covenant, he fulfills at the end of the new covenant. And we live now and we experience our God is faithful and he will bring his word to pass and finish his work. Blessed and praised be his holy name. Amen. We rise for prayer. Lord our God, we thank you together as your people. O God, we see the marks of blessing in the lives of your servants to whom your word had gone forth, the word of promise. And we see the marks of blessing in your people who have received the word of promise in their time. Faithful God in heaven, we are too little, we are too clumsy, too unworthy of all the working and activity of our God, all his speaking and all his revelations. But Lord, because it is the time when all things come to pass, you have watched over your word to fulfill it. You made promises at the Exodus, and you fulfilled them after the leading out from the Babylonian captivity. You made promises at the beginning of the new covenant, and you fulfilled them at the end of the new covenant. Hallelujah! We may see you in the book of Revelation as the one over whose head is the rainbow, the bow of the covenant. Hallelujah! Thou, the God of faithfulness, Thou, the Almighty, the King of kings, praise and thanksgiving and glory be to Thee. Your Spirit rules in our midst, and your word has been revealed. Lord, we praise you for this, and we worship you. Faithful Master, receive us as we are. And Lord, we watch for it, for soon the voice will sound. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. All the blessed shall enter into your glory. Hallelujah. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all children of God and all the prophets were blessed by the word of promise you gave them. Lord, we thank you that we too may be children of promise, children of God, who have recognized what is happening in this time. Blessed and praised be your glorious name. Amen.